Well, good morning.
Morning.
And welcome as we gather to worship the living God and glorify Him. We come not so much for what we can get out of this service, but for what we can put into it. As our main focus is always God and God alone. If you're a visitor, we're so glad you're here. We thank you for coming. And it's our prayer that you will feel the power of the Holy Spirit as you leave this place. There are a couple of announcements that I've been asked to give. Firstly, Vacation Bible School is only a week away. And that's an exciting time in our church, particularly for those that are 4 years old or those that up to children that are in the sixth grade. And we also, it's an outreach program, so not only for our kids, but for your families and friends would have an opportunity to come to Asbury during that time. Secondly, you need to mark your calendar for a huge event that's going to occur October the 11th. And it's being billed as Hog on the Hill. When I first saw it, my mind went to the Razorbacks, but it's not that. But we're going to have a barbecue dessert cook-off October the 11th. It's going to be centered around the pumpkin patch and the fall festival. So it's going to be a busy time, but a fun time. So I would just ask you to mark your calendars early and be sure to be here for that. Now, there are attendance pads in the aisle. If you would take that attendance pad, fill the information that's asked, pass it down so you'll know who you're worshiping with. And if you're a member and there's someone on your pew that you don't know, that's your assignment today. Get to know them and make them feel welcome. And we do that as we stand and greet each other. Now, as we begin our time, would you join me in the call to worship? As a shepherd seeks a lost sheep,
so God seeks and saves the lost.
Like a woman who searches for a lost coin until it's found. As a father receives a returning wayward son.
So God comes to us and lets the past be the past.
Therefore, let us praise God in thanksgiving what we have received.
Let us receive and welcome and rejoice over one another in the name of Jesus Christ.
Oh.
you'd please remain standing as we start by preparing our hearts to God and praying for our annual conference. Together. God,
remain
alive in our world
and in the church as we prepare this time of holy conference. Revive us by the power of your Spirit, that we encounter your compelling presence in every session, every service, every congregation. Transform us that after the lights are dimmed and the arena quiet, our lives carry forth the hope of your world-changing love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now have the children come forward for a children's moment. All the little ones to come forward. Come on. That's it. One by one. Let's sit right there. That's fine. Well, good morning. Are y'all doing good? Okay, I have some questions to ask, and I want you to raise your hand if you give the thumbs up, okay? How many of you have ridden a bike? Raise it up real high. How many of you have been in a car? In a car. How many of you have been on a boat? Been on a boat. You've been on a boat. How about a train? You've been on a train? You all have been on a train? You have? We're little? Okay. How about an airplane? Airplane? Have you been on an airplane? No, not yet. How do you think Jesus? Yeah? How do you think Jesus traveled? You know, he preached and healed people. How do you think he got around? He walked. Any other answers? What do you think? Yeah, that's good. I think that's great. Maybe he rode on a donkey or a horse. Yeah, a donkey. That's right. So you all have traveled to different places. And when Jesus was alive, he traveled. But did you know that when you travel to all these different places, that God is there too? That God is there too?
We drive to church.
You drive to church and God's in the car, isn't he? Into the new house. God is in the new house. That's right, because God is everywhere. Isn't that right? God's everywhere. And so we should love wherever we are because God's there. You're going to the new house. I know it. Well, that's great. Why don't we end with a word of prayer, okay? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Y'all repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for all you do, that you're always with us. Amen. Amen.
If I have a God.
As we enter this time of prayer, there's two or three things I want to mention before we actually start the prayer. And that's to call up some people that are in special need. We pray for David Marrero, and whose mother, we learned, died last evening. So we ask that you'd be with David and his family. Be with Betty Phillips, who's having a very tough time right now, and her family. And we ask for also prayers for Randy Dennis, who has this heart condition. They haven't been able to figure out what that is. So now let's join in prayer. Dear God in heaven and present with us this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit, we thank you for the freedom to come and worship your name. We come because on a cross so long ago you offered your Son Jesus that we may have real life. Thank you. We pray for our world today, a world that seems out of control, a world that seems devoid of leadership. There's dangers everywhere. And much like the prophet Nehemiah, who wept over the situation when he heard of the brokenness of the walls of Jerusalem, we weep for our country and for our world. And we pray and we ask for your guidance. And deep down, we know that you're still in control, and we praise you for that. We pray for our men and women who serve in protecting us through the military. And we ask that you would protect them also. We pray for our church, that it will continue to be the shining light in this part of Little Rock. And for the staff that lead it. Regarding the annual conference that's beginning this afternoon, we pray especially for all the delegates attending from around the states, and specifically we pray for our pastors, Mary Hilliard, Chase Green, and David Moore, and for our lay delegates, Larry Morton, Mary Noble, and Ron Paulson. We lift up Chase Green today as he will become an elder in full connection with the United Methodist Church at this conference. May his ministry be fully connected with love for you and love for each other. Please be with those that are sick that we've mentioned, and there are a number of people that are in special needs that we don't know. But the wonderful thing is that we know that you know, and we ask you to be with them. And finally, may this be the day that we've all longed for, one with you and one with each other, as we pray the prayer your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, as we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, the annual conference is a good reminder of, I think, the joy and the honor of being a United Methodist. We're a United Methodist in that we're a connectional church. And I'm not sure everyone understands what that means, but we're connected with the United Methodist churches, not only in Arkansas, in the United States, but worldwide we're connected. And that's part of the pleasure of being a Methodist. And as you give your gifts today, part of that, at least a part of it, goes not just for the ministry here at Asbury, not just for the ministry in Arkansas, but for the ministry around the world. Now let's pray. Dear Lord, we offer these tithes and offerings to be used to continue glorifying you. In Jesus' name, amen. you remain standing as we join this lovely choir in singing the hymn of meditation, Holy Spirit, Truth Divine, upon 465.
Joy to be with you, and I give thanks to Clef Vaughn for serving as liturgist this morning. He's the first of many folks who volunteered to be a liturgist who will serve in assisting in worship, and we are so thankful for all those that will serve in that capacity as they are a gift to us in helping us lead in worship. Our scripture passage comes to us from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. Hear these words as they are read aloud, and may they fall upon our hearts and minds in a fresh way. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. Several months ago, I got a call in my office from a man in great need. He was just now in Little Rock, and he had traveled from California, his home state, all the way to the East Coast to be with his family, a family that he was estranged from. He was trying to mend fences and try to fix some broken hearts, but unfortunately, nothing got better. And so he made his way back from the East Coast and is arriving in Little Rock and was at a hotel. He shared with me that he had AIDS. He was very, very sick and weak and was just trying to get back to his home in California. And he needed some money for the bus to take him to complete his journey. His story was very convincing, and it broke my heart to hear him over the phone, and he sounded weak, and so I decided to go and meet him and give him some money. So I met him in the parking lot where his hotel was and gave him some of the money and certainly looked upon him. He was pale and looked sickly and in pain. And after that, I was happy. When you do things for people, it gives you a sense of satisfaction that you're doing something that's right and true, something you've been taught as a young one to help those that are in need. And then several weeks later, I noticed on Facebook one of my colleagues post the exact same story on Facebook. I have been fooled. Now, many of us have been in similar situations where we've reached out to someone, given someone care or aid or help, and we find out later that they were dishonest, or maybe you give money to the man on the street and then you see him walk into a liquor store. And it hits you in the gut. You feel taken advantage of. You feel hurt, disrespected. Feel like you waste your time and resources. And for some of us, with that compiled with on our obligations to work and to family and frustrations, lots of times we just want to say, I've had enough. I'm not going to give to charity like that anymore. I've been burned too many times. I can't do it. We still feel the sense of frustration. We're at the end of our rope. We have nothing left to give or offer because we're just not getting anything back. Jesus is fully human, just as much as he is fully God. Jesus got extremely exhausted, and Jesus got frustrated. You remember the story. It's one of the famous ones because it's so alarming and so it just illuminates in front of us when we hear about the story where Jesus is in the temple and he sees all of these people exchanging money, cheating each other, trying to get a good deal from one another, doing the exact opposite of what is to happen in his Father's house. And he's furious. It's one of these stories that wakes us up. Is that really our Jesus that does that? That flips over tables? That fashions a whip? Whoopsh, whoopsh. However, even though Jesus got furious, he still had his eyes on his mission. Even through exhaustion, frustration, he knew the mission. And the mission is bringing God's kingdom into this world. It happens when Jesus is born, when the incarnation happens. That is the beginning of God's kingdom. When we talk about God's kingdom, that's living out the Beatitudes, that's praying for our enemies, that's loving our God and our neighbor. And this is the reality of our world. Not cheating, not lying, not manipulating, not hurting, but those positive and warm and wonderful rules of life. And so it begins. And Jesus has given us the same mission he was doing, to bring God's kingdom into this part of the world, and then into this part and this part. But sometimes we feel like we can't give that much. We feel tired. Our energy is zapped. And we need moments that show us that God is still working in the world. I had the chance in college to go on a mission trip to Chincha, Peru. And if you remember, several years ago, there was a very massive earthquake that hit Peru, and Chincha was about 50 miles from there. And that earthquake was so catastrophic, especially to the country of Peru, because many of their buildings in these rural settings are not structurally sound. So it doesn't take much for things to crumble apart. And Chincha felt every bit of that. Well, there's a Methodist church in Chincha that has hosted many mission groups from the United States. And really their mission when they come in, those groups, just like we were, is to help with this local mission for children. It's a safe place for the children to be. They come there to learn. They come there to play. And they come there to be fed. And one of our missions was to finish the kitchen and the dining area. And I'll never forget the day where those children went into that dining room and they had these full plates. They had this fork and they would pile as much on that fork as they could get, and they would eat. And we got to see the smiles on those children's faces, smiles that you want to see for the rest of your life, right? Where God is at work, where the kingdom of God is becoming a reality. But you know, Jesus was human, experienced exhaustion. Maybe it's after a long day like our passage, where Jesus has been going all around Galilee, healing all these people, caring for these. Everyone's flooding to him, and he's taking care of them. And it's at the end of a long day. Maybe it's one of those adventures where he and the disciples are out on the boat. And you remember the story where Jesus is fast asleep, even when a storm is coming up. And the disciples have to wake him. Jesus took time to replenish himself, to renew himself. On the one side, you have those that have been burned and don't want to do good anymore because they're worried about what will happen. And on the other side, you have people that throw themselves to do all these great and wonderful things constantly, giving of their heart. But the problem is that you have a living heart too. And the more you give, the more you share, unfortunately, the more you deplete of your own will and power and love. There are statistics about young clergy and burnout that in the first 5 years, a great number of young clergy hang up their robes and quit, because they've given all that they can, and they've been so eager to do all they can that they forgot to care for themselves. They forgot about self-care. They forgot about Sabbath. They forgot about their own spiritual growth. And brothers and sisters, Jesus teaches us that we must do both. We must give all we can to helping those in need, but also know our limits. Know when we need rest. Know when we need to take a step back. Know when we need to go to our Heavenly Father and pray. We see in different areas in the New Testament about Jesus leaving the disciples, going off by himself, and being in direct contact with God to renew his heart because of all that he gave to others. My brothers and sisters, Jesus is on the go, and we're supposed to be on the go too. Always working, always helping, always sharing love. But Jesus knows that the Sabbath is important. That we must care for our hearts, ourselves. And then once we've refueled, we can go and share more. All of this is for the growth of God's kingdom. How good are we if we deplete ourselves with everything we have and we're done? There's no longer a minister to serve. So we have to have that passion, but a true understanding of what our limits are and how we serve God and our neighbors as we live out growing God's kingdom. Let us do this as we follow our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us be standing as we sing our closing hymn, A Charge to Keep I Have, number 413. If there are those that would like to unite with our congregation, to become members of our church, or have a time of prayer, please come forward. From this place, knowing that you're agents to change this world into God's kingdom, knowing that God follows you, leads you, is on your left and your right, underneath and above, and will always give you care and comfort when you need it along the way. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.